This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the day after the combine. Exhale, everybody. It's over. What are you looking so funny for?
No, I'm not. I'm just funny looking. That's all.
All right. Joining us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, gentleman who was at the combine watching everything there was to watch, with guys running around in spandex, being timed at everything, being measured at everything. How high can you jump? How fast can you run? He's Scott Petrak from the Chronicle Telegram, covers the Browns. You can read all of his work at brownzone.com. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Scotty.
How are you guys doing?
Very well. How about you, man?
I'm good.
Did you make it back okay? You home?
I did. Long drive back. It was good, though.
All right, very nice. Your overriding thought from the combine involving the Browns is?
I think I'm going to say there's a bunch of quality defensive linemen, and the Browns need about two of them. And, you know, just talking to those guys and then watching them work out and talking to, Freddie and John Dorsey, it just feels like that's the position that everybody needs to be paying attention to for the next month and a half, 2 months.
Defensive line's the way to go.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, fill me in with names that you think would look good and when the Browns could make that pick. Or do they need to move up to get the guys they want?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think they need to move up. Now, if you fall head over heels with one particular guy, maybe. But I didn't get the sense that John Dorsey feels like he's in a position to do that. And we can talk about that, too, is when he said, you know, we're not ready to, quote-unquote, go for it. I thought that was meaningful regarding the Browns. You know, a guy like Alabama's Quinnen Williams will probably be gone in the top five. But if Ed Oliver, the tackle, falls, which he might fall, I really like him. Christian Wilkins from Clemson, if he's there, I really came away liking him from a personality standpoint and on the field. And those are tackles. And then there's ends, too, in depending on what they do in free agency. Cleveland Farrell from Clemson. Montez Sweat, who ran an unbelievable 40 time yesterday, is an end, and you can just see them picturing, you just picture Myles Garrett on one side and Sweat on the other side. So those are the names that, you know, one of those guys is going to be there at 17, and I just think Dorsey will wait to see who falls. And then the more guys that get pushed up, like a guy like DK Metcalf, I no longer think he's going to be around at 17, and that's probably good for the Browns because it pushes down the defensive linemen. You know, the more quality defensive linemen that are hanging around, the better it is for the Browns.
What did you think of the comments about Drew Stanton from both Freddie Kitchen and John Dorsey? Both of them just, hey, here's what he was as a starter. They had their line all ready to roll.
Yeah, and they were wrong. They were game off. They kept saying 10-6. He was 11-5.
Yeah.
I thought the first time I heard it, and we talked to Freddie first, I was like, I'm not sure I'm buying it. And then the longer I stayed at the combine and the more John Dorsey talked and then we talked to other people, the more convinced I am that Drew Stanton is their number two. And which means they probably take a quarterback later in the draft. That would just seem to make, that makes sense. You draft a guy every year, like Mike Holmgren used to say, you see if he sticks, maybe you trade him, maybe you keep him, maybe he develops into your number two. But I'd be surprised if they made any significant move at quarterback until they draft the guy in the, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round.
Is Nick Bosa going to go number one?
I don't think so. I know every mock draft in the last 12 months, or whatever, since the last draft, 8 months, it's had Nick Bosa number one. But the feel, and you see rumors and you see reports, and just the feeling is somebody's going to trade up and get a quarterback. And it feels like that might be Kyler Murray. Maybe the Cardinals trade Josh Rosen, and they sit at number one and take Kyler Murray. That doesn't seem ludicrous. The Cardinals did not rule that out at all. I talked to GM Steve Keim, said, everything's on the table instead of just committing to Josh Rosen. So, is it Kyler Murray? Could it be Dwayne Haskins? you know, I still struggle a little bit with the fact that you could have a 5'10 guy be the number one pick in the draft, but talking to guys at the combine, Bruce Arians, John Gruden, and they talked about Baker kind of shifting that model, you know, and we've seen shorter quarterbacks have success, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, but none of those guys went number one. And even after they had success, NFL teams did not feel it was okay to draft a short quarterback number one. And after John Dorsey went out on a limb with Baker, it feels like that has shifted. Now, maybe it shifts back. Maybe it has only shifted for certain teams. But there was a definite feeling in Indy that Kyler Murray could go number one. And to me, that's stunning when he's 5'10 and 1/8. And, you know, I mean, Baker's 2.5 inches taller than this kid. And Baker was considered short a year ago.
Wow.
So that's a big shift in 1 year.
I feel like Dwayne Haskins' stock went up. Am I wrong or am I right? Or is he just where he was going into this thing?
No, I think it did, and I think it should have. You know, he threw, which he should have, and Kyler Murray didn't throw. And that's a little bit of a head-scratcher to me. He didn't do anything. Like, didn't run, didn't throw. He's going to wait till he gets to Oklahoma. I think Haskins had a chance to be the guy in the quarterback workouts, and I think he was. I think he took advantage of that. I really liked talking to Haskins. And you know, just the podium interviews, you know, is a small factor in the big picture of who a player is. But I did not like Kyler Murray's podium interview. I didn't like his answers. I didn't like his attitude. And I did with Dwayne Haskins. I thought he came across great. I thought he answered everything he needed to answer. And I liked the persona about him. So it would not shock me if, you know, the quarterback's picking near the top of the draft, you know, the Giants or whoever, the Raiders, if they came away from the combine with a little nod toward Haskins, you know, then you have to go back to the film and say, okay, is Murray that much better than him when you strictly go off the film?
Do you get the impression that the NFL teams think Murray didn't do a nice job with the interviews and that he's a big risk, or did you get more of a feeling that he's becoming more of a sure thing?
I don't know if I can say one way or the other. It's tough to tell how a guy comes off behind the scenes. And, you know, I think Baker could rub people the wrong way in formal media interviews. You know, there was a sense, we talked last year, is it confidence or cockiness with Baker? And that started well before the combine, but we saw it in full display at the combine. And Murray came across to me, and this is just standing in front of him for whatever, 10, 15 minutes when he did his interview. He wasn't as likable as Baker. Baker was confident, cocky, but he was also likable. There's some personality there. You know, Murray challenged a guy about why he isn't playing baseball over football based on money. He said, you know, you can make a ton of money in the NFL. And then somebody asked him why he loves football. You pick football over baseball, why do you love it? And to me, that's the easiest question to answer. It should be the easiest question to answer. And even if you don't know it, your agent should have you with a scripted answer. And he goes, that's a tough question, with a little bit of an attitude, and then gave to me what was a unconvincing argument and did not convince me that he loves football at all. So, you know, I think teams are asking similar questions, but if he goes on the board and is smart enough and you love his film and he goes to Oklahoma's pro day and he lights it up and he runs a 4.4 or 4.3, then, you know, you're probably willing to not love the fact that he didn't have the perfect answers.
Scott, is the combine ready for prime time? That's my next question for you. And are you ready to go out to L.A. for this?
I'm not ready to go to L.A. I got a nice little routine going in Indianapolis. It's a lot easier to get to. It's cheaper. In the prime time part, I'm torn on because I enjoy it. I really like going to the combine. I find it extremely useful. But I almost feel like the least useful part of Indianapolis or of the combine for me are the workouts that they show on TV. So I know my buddies hunker down during combine weekend,
right,
and they watch every 40. But I just don't think there's enough of those diehard fans to watch it, especially in prime time. I just don't, you know, you're watching 330-pound guys, you know, run a 40 in spandex, you know, it's hard to get your whole family to sit down and commit to that for 4 hours.
Hey, let's pop some popcorn. We're going to watch spandex. Sounds good.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, though, because we talked about this at the beginning of the show. You know how everybody meets with teams at night, and then they have their interview process that way. Would you watch if NFL Network had their own GM and a scout and a head coach, they're all former guys, in a room, go through those interviews, and would you watch that as a TV show on the same night live? I'm sure it would make the teams real happy for it, about it, but I do think it'd be fascinating TV as a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I would watch it. That sounds like a lot of the Gruden, you know, when Gruden used to do his QB camp. You know, you get behind the scenes, you get a guy on the film, you know, on the board, and then he took the guy to the field. I find that fascinating, but I think it's also better edited. You know, I'm not sure that's a live thing. These feel like they're better produced features leading up to the draft as opposed to we're going to watch 4 straight hours of this. I just don't think, you know, I know the NFL, everything works. Everything's gold when it touches the NFL, but I'm not sure that would translate to primetime.
Fair enough.
What'd you think of the Buffalo quarterback? 6'7", 700 pounds, throws the ball 150 yards at a pop.
705 is what I think.
That's pretty interesting.
It is. You know, I think there's a place for him. And I have to remind myself this too, is you watch these guys at the combine and you're like, oh my God, he's a top 10 pick. Oh my gosh, he's definitely going to the first round. And then you have to take a step back and you have to go back and watch a film. And I'm just going to use DK Metcalf as an example. You see a guy run 4.3 and he's that big and that strong. You're like, oh my God, he could be Julio Jones or he could be Calvin Johnson. I haven't watched a whole lot of DK Metcalf on film. So I need to go back. I would need to go back and say, does it translate? Does that speed and that size translate to the field? Can he get open? How are his routes? Does he catch the ball when he throws it to him? And so the combine is such a small snapshot. I think you have to remember to step back and take a bigger look. Even a guy like Paris Campbell, he runs a great time, right? 4.31. But every time I watch Ohio State, he would drop a ball or two. You know, so that has to ding them when you're deciding where to draft a guy. So I love big quarterbacks. I still do love big quarterbacks, and I think they have a place. But you have to make sure that he's accurate enough and smart enough and makes good enough decisions, because those are the key ingredients. And I do think that's what Baker reminded us last year, is its accuracy and decision-making and an arm strength too, because he's got a big arm.
Tyree Jackson, did he play? That's the kid from Buffalo. Did he play his way into second round?
You know what? He might have. And it's not only based on the comment. I liked what I saw from him in the Senior Bowl. You know, the limited time that I saw watching the Senior Bowl, I didn't feel like it was just size. You know, I thought there was plenty of arm strength there. I thought he made enough. I thought he made some big throws when it mattered in the Senior Bowl, whether it's practice or the game, to catch my attention and not be just kind of a freakish number thing. You know, I really liked how he threw the ball. So, I mean, we all know how quarterbacks get pushed up in the draft, and there are probably 4 or 5 guys sticking in the first round when there shouldn't be. So, yeah, I could see Jackson going in the second round for sure.
Scott, welcome back. Always good to have you go to the combine, and we love getting your thoughts on it when you come back. So, thanks, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com. You can read all of his work at brownzone.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.